Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Andrew Dewhurst. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. And how are you today?
I'm doing okay, trying to balance watching my kid and podcast at the same time. Thank God we live in an age in which I have, you know, video and audio feeds to where my baby is sleeping right now.
Technology is a beautiful thing sometimes.
It is, especially because we are recording like super early in the morning. My wife is asleep right now, so I'm only a few feet away from my baby, but that still makes this a tenuous process.
Fair enough.
But we got a quick podcast today, I think, because we are talking about the Miami Marlins, and I don't think there is going to be a ton necessarily to talk about in terms of fantasy value, so that will make things a tad bit easier. So why don't we just jump right in? We'll start with catcher and JT Realmuto. What do you think the chances are that Realmuto is on this team come opening day?
If the asking prices that we're hearing are accurate, I think there's a pretty good chance he's still going to be there, because I don't think anyone's going to pay the price that the Marlins are asking of, it sounds like basically like top 25 prospect plus. So given that, I would say he's probably going to be sitting on this team come opening day, unless the price comes down.
If he's still sitting on this team, is he your number one catcher coming into the season?
I think he has to be, because he's the only catcher I think you can look at with any amount of safety. Last year we looked at Gary Sanchez, and Gary Sanchez didn't have a great year, and I think that's putting it lightly. So Realmuto, his home runs came up last year, steals dropped quite a bit, which hurts his value overall, but considering he's still pretty steady in all of your other counting stats, I think he's probably going to be the number one catcher.
I would tend to agree with you on him being the number one catcher. I don't think there's any way he is on this team coming up big day. I think right now the Marlins are playing hardball. I think they're going to come to a deal with somebody. Who knows who that will be? I have a feeling it feels like it's going to be the Braves. But I think especially once Grandal signs and we start seeing kind of this thick catcher pool in free agency, kind of sign and go to their teams, there's going to be a team left wanting. And you don't leave a talent like this who's got an extra year of control past 2019 out on the market. And I think if you're a team looking to compete and looking to win right now, which there are a few teams out there who are in need of a catcher and willing to and wanting to win, I think someone's going to make this happen. And I think the Marlins know they need to make this happen. And if they have to come down on their demands, they will eventually.
Yeah, I guess the only question I have left with Realmuto is if, depending on where Grandal signs, I did my first best ball of the year. I'm in it right now. Mm-hmm. And when I ran my values for 2018, Grandal was worth like 3 points less than Realmuto. If Grandal signs in a favorable location, could you see yourself passing on Realmuto to get Grandal if he ends up in an Atlanta or a nice lineup?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, if he ended up in a place like Atlanta, where, you know, when he hits lefty, he's got the short porch, I would love that. Or, I mean, really, there's very few locations that I think he could end up where I would dislike him as a value in comparison to Realmuto. I don't think that they're I think the price on Realmuto is fair, especially in two catcher formats, but I'll take the discount and take Grandal pretty much every time if I can.
Fair enough.
Moving on over to first, currently Peter O'Brien slated to be the everyday first baseman. Garrett Cooper, who had a little bit of sleeper value coming into last year, kind of on the bench slated. How do you see the first base situation working out there?
This one's actually kind of interesting to me. When I looked at Peter O'Brien, he actually provided a nice amount of power last year. Across three levels, he hit for about 27 home runs, walked at a nice clip. So he's a guy I wouldn't mind grabbing really late as a bench batter, as a potential corner infield spot. I know there's still some love out there for Garrett Cooper. kind of in that exact same realm of a guy you can probably get late and might provide some sleeper value. But I think these are guys in O'Brien and Cooper that you can look at late and possibly get a nice return from.
Yeah, I think NL only, I'm maybe taking a shot on these guys. You know, O'Brien is a former top prospect. This is one of those instances that I love to point out, that, you know, top prospects don't always pan out, and O'Brien has not panned out. But that being said, he is projected by Steamer to hit 19 home runs this season. He's supposed to do it at a 196 batting average. So that's not necessarily a good sign, but between, AAA in the majors last year, he hit over 270. So, you know, and he does walk. He walked 14% of the time, or almost 15% of the time in AAA last year, almost 10% of the time in a short stint at the majors. So, I mean, in on-base percentage leagues, I think you could do much worse, but not much worse. So, let's move on. Starlin Castro, second base, kind of a steady Eddie contributor. Is he a guy that you're targeting, especially considering how shallow second base seems to be this year?
I don't think so. I'd still rather take my shot somewhere else. I mean, you're probably it's not the end of the world if you do end up with Starlin Castro, because you're not going to pay a super high price for it. But there's not much. I mean, the expectation, I think, on Starlin Castro at this point is, you know, you'll get about, you know, 10 to 15 home runs, you'll get a handful of steals, and he'll probably hit about 260 for you. I mean, he's essentially doing the same thing in Miami he did in New York. It's just when you change the ballparks, you see his home run to fly ball rate cut in half. So I don't think he's any worse than he was a few years ago from an actual like playing perspective, but his fantasy value, as long as he's in a Marlins uniform, is probably greatly diminished. But I mean, maybe there is some value in Castro in the hopes that he will get moved, as he's also a guy that doesn't really fit in on this team with where they're going.
Yeah, and he is coming into the second to last year of his contract. I think he has a team option for 2020, but and that will likely be picked up because it's only $11 or $12 million for 2020, but I think there's a really good chance he gets moved. The nice thing is, while he is in is in Miami, he's going to be batting on top of that lineup, and he's going to, you know, rack in, you know, a fair amount of runs. And in spite of the decreased production in the counting stats, he's actually done a really good job at improving his strike zone judgment. He's getting more walks. He's walking at a 7.5% clip, which is pretty much the highest he's had in the majors. Last year it was just under 5%, or 2017 it was just under 5% with the Yankees. So if he does get moved, I think that would be a really nice thing for his value. But I think he's you know, an interesting option at middle infield, or if you're really late waiting on second base in a 15-team league or deeper, as a guy who's kind of, he's not going to be a huge contributor, but he's going to, you know, contribute something in each one of the categories.
Yeah, for sure.
Any interest in JT Riddle or Martin Prado at this point?
None.
Okay, so let's go ahead and move on out to the outfield. Lewis Brinson was part of the Christian Yelich trade, and it was kind of the free Lewis Brinson movement throughout the fantasy industry. People were getting excited. I was excited. He was absolutely atrocious in the major leagues last year. Any chance that this is the kind of post-hype sleeper time to buy on Lewis Brinson?
I think that chance is definitely there. He has to figure out how to hit the baseball for him to actually get some value.
It's a very valuable tool to have in baseball.
Yes. I mean, he only had 76 hits and 382 plate at-bats last year. That's terrible. The most surprising thing when I looked at Brinson was that he only ran three times last year. Is like when we had the free Brinson movement, the Marlins said, all right, well, we'll free him, but we're going to put the ball and chain on his legs. So, I mean, that really hurts his value. I mean, you're not going to really pay anything for him, I don't think. So, I don't see any reason not to take a late round flyer on Brinson and hope that he figures some things out in the offseason.
Yeah, the hard part about stealing bases is it's hard to do if you're not on first base.
Yes.
So, especially because, one of the things we kind of seen in the last few years with Brinson was an ability to take a walk. And, he walked at a double-digit rate in a short stint with the Brewers in 2017. And at AAA, he walked at an almost double-digit rate. And then gets up to the Marlins, plays 109 games, and walks 4.2% of the time. This is a guy, to me, that was really pressing and really struggling and trying to hit his way out of it. And sometimes maybe you need to be a tad bit more patient and kind of really learn the strike zone, take advantage of the fact that people aren't willing to throw things in the zone necessarily to you. So I think he's going to be much better. He can't be much worse. But the beauty of the Marlins is they have no reason not to play him. He plays a pretty darn good center field, so defensively he's a plus. So I think he is a guy that I'm going to be looking at in deeper formats and in dynasty and keeper leagues as a guy to try to maybe buy on the cheap.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think the biggest thing to remember with Brinson is that he is learning on the job. Like, he's learning the majors. He's yet to perform, but I think when you go back and you look at kind of what he's done in the across the minors, there's still some reason to dream here.
You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. All preseason long, we'll be bringing you the most in-depth analysis to get you ready for your drafts. There will be 30 team previews with 30 prospect previews during the month of January. That's 60 podcasts in 30 days. Then, we will be dropping almost daily pods until the start of the season. You can also get your 2019 draft guide called The Fantasy Benefit in ebook and paperback on Amazon.com. Or if you prefer, you can get it via email in PDF form. It has over 250 pages of analysis, player profiles, ranks, strategy guides, and prospect information for cheaper than the magazine you get in the store. Plus, we'll be updating both PDF and ebook all the way until draft season is over for any changes that happen in the landscape of fantasy baseball. Stay tuned all preseason long to Friends of Fantasy Benefits so you can be ahead of the curve. Any interest in Austin Dean or anybody else really on this offense? I mean, Brian Anderson's there, so I guess we can talk about Anderson real quick.
Yeah, Brian Anderson's—he's steady. He's an okay option at third base or as your corner out infield. Hits the ball hard, just doesn't display anything that really is sexy for fantasy, right? Doesn't hit for much power, doesn't run much, but should probably provide you, a decent average, but with with the lineup around him, you're not going to probably get much enough counting stats to really make him overly useful.
He's a good NL only, third, fourth outfielder type guy. He's gonna play every day. He could accumulate some stats. Got 87 runs scored last year, so I mean that has some value. Hit for a decent average with those 670 plate appearances. So. And does walk, so it's 357 on base percentage last year. No reason to think that drops a ton. Maybe it drops down to 340 or something like that. But that has some value in your NL only. But I know some people were hyped on him a little bit last year, and he was pretty good in stretches. But I'm not a big Brian Anderson fan.
Fair enough. I mean, in terms of Austin Dean, I don't see anything there.
No.
And as far as the rest of this offense, I don't think there's probably anything worth discussing.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll see Magnus Sierra at some point. I think he profiles more as a fourth outfielder, but on this team, that he could be the second outfielder. I don't think we'll see Monte Harrison or Victor Mesa this year. So, but those are guys that Matt and I talked about in the prospect. Pod that'll be coming out a little bit later. So let's go ahead and move on over to the rotation. Anybody worth talking about here?
I think there are. I mean, Urena struggled last year. Dan Straley is a guy that seems to continue to find himself being drafted. Caleb Smith, though, is the guy that really jumps out to me in this. One of the I mean, I track a database worth of statistics for the baseball season. Last year, he was among 9 players who had an ERA that was less, that was greater than their FIP, where that ERA was over 4, the FIP was under 4, who struck out more than, had a greater K per 9 than 9, and kept the contact rate below 80. It's a fairly small list. It's kind of like Freddie, it's your Freddie Peraltas, your Nick Pavettas, Caleb Smith's in there, Vince Velasquez, Chris Archer, Zach Godley, Shane Bieber, Tyler Skaggs, Lance Lynn. I think Caleb Smith is a guy you're going to get really cheap. And if he maintains that 10.24 K per nine, he's going to have some value. His needs to bring his walk rate down, though, at 3.84. That's going to be a problem. But he does have the advantage of playing in Marlins Park.
He has to play in Marlins Park. Like, he's not a guy that you can stream on the road, because he gives up 50% fly balls last year. Like, that's insane. He's super protected by that park. I don't think he'll keep up that strikeout rate necessarily. I think it's kind of gotta drop, but I don't necessarily know that it has to drop an extreme amount. I think maybe kind of closer to what we saw from him in 2017, whether it be AAA or the big league club with the Yankees, you know, just under 9, just under a strikeout an inning. So that has value. And like you said, he is kind of protected by that ballpark, but in leagues where I'm going to have to play him every week, like NL only, I don't want him because I don't want to have to play him every week. So I think he's, for me, he's like a streamer for the most part. And if he starts on, I haven't looked at the Marlins schedule, if he's got his first few starts at home, maybe he's a guy I kind of put on my reserve list and stream through the first couple weeks of the season.
Fair enough. He's just a guy that I think I'm going to be keeping an eye on. I think the Marlins open up in Colorado, so he's probably not going to be that guy that you want to put on your bench and stream for a few
Yeah,
weeks. But
no. So
I don't.
he's a guy to not worry about drafting then for me, and then you stream him after that, because he'll be, whether someone drafts him or not, he'll be on the waiver wire after that Colorado.
No, if you're starting him in Colorado, you're probably in trouble. You're probably not going to want to start him in Atlanta either with that fly ball rate. So, but yeah, guy's going to give you some strikeouts. Swing strike rate kind of showed some of that stability, and he was a little bit unlucky last year. But in a world where a 4 ERA plays, he's got some value.
And that is in more and more leagues in this day and age. So let's kind of move on into the bullpen. Drew Steckenrider is the closer to start the season. What are the chances that he stays in Miami the whole season? Are you willing to draft him? And if you believe he's going to be moved, who's the next guy up?
Is he? Am I going to draft him? Maybe. There's going to be saves. Like, every team gets saves. If Shane Green can be a 32 save guy last year, then I think just about anybody can. So will he be on the team? I think some of that's going to come down to price. He's got options left. He has almost no service time in, so he's probably actually almost too early in his career to get moved, in spite of the fact that he's 28, because he's going to be so cheap for a while. If he's not the next guy, if I'm going to project, I think you can look at a guy like Tyron Guerrero, throws really hard, but isn't really aware of the strike zone all that much. Adam Conley is also probably a guy that's going to be the next man up, but he's a lefty, and managers still seem to prefer right-handed pitchers to close games, especially ones of the ilk of Don Mattingly.
I don't believe he'll be on this team. I think if he starts off well, someone will make an offer for him, considering the amount of control he does have, and kind of his age. So, but I mean, I don't know. Guerrero's an interesting guy in, you know, NL only to take a spec on. I don't know that I think this Marlins team's going to win enough games that specking on closers in their system is really worth it.
I agree. I mean, if Steckenrider does get moved, I mean, I don't think it's a situation where you're going to try to plan weeks ahead to try to get the next guy up.
Yeah, I don't either. Anybody else we need to talk about before we wrap up this Marlins podcast?
I don't think so. No prospects that are all that close, and you would have already covered that with Matt.
All right. Why don't you remind people where you can reach on social media and then kind of plug anything you're doing right now?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Andrew K. Dewhurst, working through hockey stuff every week, keeping that stuff moving, and doing lots of stuff for the draft guide, and pumping out team preview podcasts.
Yeah, you can reach me on Twitter at Justin Basin, FWFB. You can email me or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. Yeah, catch me on these podcasts here, Friends of Fantasy Benefits. You can catch me on the Sleeper in the Bus podcast. Read all my work at Fangraphs, Fantasy Alarm, and Friends of Fantasy Benefits. And I think that will do it for us. For Andrew and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.